The question I have right now is, why on earth would anyone be a vegetarian? A vegetarian, not eating meat. Now, I have mentioned this, that I have friends from Brazil. They're scientists. And we have, on occasion, a churro, which is a gathering to eat and consume meat. It is great. I do not eat red meat, but when I go here. So it is wonderful. But it's meat. It's raw meat. The last time I went, a 5-hour conversation about evolution. He is a DNA, genetic DNA expert. That's what his PhD is in. So obviously, full of ammunition from the message I heard that day, or later the next day, we went at it in a loving way. And I mentioned last week that it is a scientific fact of evolution. A bunch of atheists got together and came up with a conclusion, and they call it a fact. So anyhow, that's not what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Romans 14. If you could turn there, Romans 14. Today, I have 2 points to talk about and explain the verse, Romans 14, 19 through 23. So first, what does it actually say and mean? Romans 14, verse 19. Romans 14, verse 19. Let's read it from the New King James Version, Romans 14, verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. Well, that was pretty well said by Paul. And of course, they've taken it out of context. We all know that Paul's writings, generally are taken out of context. Verse 14 of the Bible, of Romans 14, talks about the simple concept. And the question is, does it abolish the law of clean and unclean meats? Well, we and God's church know that the answer is no, it does not. Paul explains that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Note that the word translated unclean here is not a kataros, which is the Greek word that's translated unclean meat, but rather koinos, K-O-I-N-O-S, koinos, a word normally translated as common, sometimes referring to that which had died of itself and had not been used in ritual slaughterings. And that's the key. The context here is not of foods defined as common in the Bible, but of those foods judged to be common by the consciousness of the individual Christian. To him who considers anything to be unclean, koinos, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy what with your food, the Greek word broma, the general word for food, not the word for meat, the one for whom Christ died. So Paul later states, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. Obviously, he doesn't mean that all things are pure in the universal sense, since some things, such as mushrooms, are poisonous, and other things, such as snakes and lizards, are clearly unappetizing to most people, as well as not being sanctioned in the Bible as good for food. The words are to be read in the context of secondary matter that are of no consequence in and of themselves, except in the matter of offense. So he then makes a summary statement with Paul. It is good neither to eat meat, which is the Greek word krias, which means animal flesh. Wow, it's amazing when you know the translations how clear things are. Nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. In other words, if you need to go vegetarian or to avoid alcohol or do whatever is needed to avoid offending your brother, do it. So we see that Romans 14 deals with the practical matters of diet in the Greco-Roman pagan world and has nothing to do with abolishing the laws of clean and unclean meats. So that's clear. I think we knew that, right? We've had a lot of messages on that. Point two, is the meaning to be applied to more than just meat? What is the principle of the scripture? If I can, I'm going to read that scripture again in a different translation. Sometimes a different translation helps. This is the New Living Translation. Don't undo the work of God for a chunk of meat. Remember, there is nothing wrong with the meat, but it is wrong to eat it if it makes another stumble. The right thing to do is to quit eating meat or drinking wine or doing anything else that offends your brother or makes him sin. You may know that there is nothing wrong with what you do, even from God's point of view, but keep it to yourself. Don't flaunt your faith in front of others who might be hurt by it. In this situation, happy is the man who does not sin by doing what he knows is right. But anyone who believes that something he wants to do is wrong should not do it. He sins if he does, for he thinks it is wrong, and so for he is wrong. Anything that is done apart from what he feels is right is sin. Well, that translation is, I think, very clear, and it can be applied as the principle to other matters. It's a powerful scripture that goes beyond meat. What about doing something that someone else believes is a sin? See, at this point in time, Israel went into captivity. Well, not at this point in time, but before, Israel had historically gone into captivity. Why? Idolatry, breaking the Sabbath. Eating meat that could have came from an animal sacrifice to a pagan god, they feared that. Therefore, they decided, you know what? I'm going to be a vegetarian instead of eating that meat. That makes sense. What about eating out on the Sabbath day? Some people in God's church feel that is wrong. Or drinking alcohol in general. Some people believe it is wrong. Well, others believe it is correct. But the principle of the matter is, if you believe it's right, and you are convicted, and you think it's okay, and the Bible is okay with it, you don't flaunt it in front of someone else. Obviously, I think we know that. You don't go out to eat if someone doesn't go out to eat on the Sabbath. You don't do that. You don't go out to eat with them on the Sabbath. So my wife is from a different culture. Obviously, you know where that's going. Different cultures, different thoughts. She has very strong beliefs and is convinced some things are not right. What if, and I mean what if, she could be proven, I will not use the word wrong, I will just say proven that it's okay in the Bible. Does it matter? She feels it's wrong, therefore it's wrong. Anything that is done apart from what she feels is right is a sin. Again, I speak of small matters in the Bible. We understand the main point, which is the unclean and clean meats, but the principle of it is we need to be cautious. We need to be cautious that what we do does not cause someone else to stumble. So in conclusion, it is important to read the Bible and study the Bible and understand what the Bible says. We must meditate on the Bible. We must know how to turn from this world and how to be a godly brother to our family. And that is what we are. We are family. The Apostle Paul addresses disputes over doubtful things in Romans 14. These senses, controversial or personal issues could be divisive to God's church. So Paul encourages the members in Rome instead to focus on the things that build up the church and promote peace and unity among the brethren. We must be mindful of Scripture and always look to keep the peace. We must neither let matters cause division in the church, and we must never flaunt our faith, which may cause a brother or sister in Christ to stumble.